Father, Lord, I pray that you minister to our needs, speak to us, Lord, move us in your word. As we just heard sung, Lord, we can sing all we want to and we still get it wrong. That's not all that there is to worship. So, Father, I pray that we would understand what it is you want of us and how we as your people are to live and conduct our lives, what you want from us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, if there's anybody in this place that is uncertain of their own salvation, their own relationship with their Creator, Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of their heart. Help them to see. Help them to see Jesus and what he has done for them. Give them faith. Help them to trust. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're looking at our third vital characteristic of a true Christian. We saw first that a Christian is one who is saved by grace plus nothing else. Apart from works, apart from our efforts, apart from what we do, saved by grace. We saw last week a true Christian does not conform to the world's standards. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this week we're looking at that symbol of a fruit, of an apple on our little logo there, and that is a Christian is one who bears good fruit. A vital characteristic of a Christian is one who bears good fruit. And so today in the message, we're going to be talking a lot about plants and fruit. So, how many gardeners do we have amongst us in this room? Who is a gardener? Raise your hand. You love to get in the garden, get your hands in the dirt, grow things. Raise your hand high and proud. Now I know why I walk around my neighborhood and there's so many bad gardens. It's a lot of people like you around me. Well, there's a few of us here who love getting into the garden and love working with this soil and pruning the plants and planting and making things grow. It's just a joy to see. It's a joy to be a part of that. And it's just a wonder to many of us. So, let's do a quick gardening quiz, shall we? This should be simple enough for even you guys here. What is essential for plants to grow? Huh? Sunlight? Water? Good soil. Okay, you can add other things, some fertilizers and things like that, but water? Soil, sunlight. All right, these are essential things, and everybody knows this. Let me give you a harder one. What is that substance that is in plants that give plants, and especially the leaves, a green color? Oh, you guys are scientists, not good gardeners. Chlorophyll. Very good. How about this? A harder one. What is that process called? Okay, guys. Who said that? Josh. And for the rest of you who were interested in what I was saying, what is that process called by which leaves take in the sunlight and use it to gain nutrients from it? And of course, that is photosynthesis. Very good. Now that you've passed that, let's go on to some harder questions. If you want an orange, what kind of a tree would you go get one from? Ooh, now everybody's quiet. Of course, you would go to an orange tree. What kind of a tree would you go to for bananas? Wrong. Bananas don't grow on trees. It's not a tree. It's actually a herbaceous plant, apparently. Oh, okay, one more question. What is the process of taking a plant, cutting off a branch, and then placing it into the trunk of another kind of plant? Grafting. Anybody done any grafting? I've not done grafting. I've seen plenty. Okay, a few of you. Grafting. And there's various reasons for it to get the best characteristics of different plants. You can graft. We'll look more into this idea of grafting soon. But let's start off with our first text this morning in the scripture, and that is in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 18. Matthew 7, 18. We're going to read 18, 19, and 20. It says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. This is a saying that what comes out of your life is the result of the root of it. What comes out of a person's life that is the fruit, this is what the fruit is referring to, is a result of the root, what kind of a tree that person is. Look at Luke chapter 6. The Lord said it in another way. In Luke 6:45, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Jesus here is teaching that what comes out of a person's lips depends on what's inside that person. What's in his heart. So with these two verses, what they both seem to indicate that being a Christian, a true Christian, is not just about cleaning up the outside of that person. Just an outward attempt to change things and change appearance and what you do, but it is something that is done from the inside. It is a change that takes place from within. One who is angry, one who spends their life and is characterized by anger and lashing out at other people, does so because that is what is on the inside. One who is sexually immoral and lives an immoral lifestyle does so because on the inside they are still slaves to their lust and their passions. What comes out is a result of what is on the inside. One who is always down and discouraged does so because inside they feel they have no hope. So what comes out is a result of what is going on the inside. And the good news is this, that God is the one who changes us from the inside. It is a work of God on our behalf, a gracious work that he does. Using the tree and the fruit analogies that Jesus used, he takes us through faith. Now, this is the salvation process. He takes us through faith and he grafts us. There's other terms for this. This is the process of being born again, but he grafts us and places us on a new trunk with new roots, and we are grafted into a new plant. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches because you have been grafted into him. You have been placed into him. The Bible says we've been baptized into Jesus. We've been immersed into him. We are in his life. And so this is that grafting process that he has done for us. Romans 11 speaks about this grafting process. So a true Christian will not live like a hypocrite. We all understand what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is simply someone who says something, but they act and live differently. That's a hypocrite. A true Christian won't be living like a hypocrite continually. We all may stumble and fail at times, but that is not our way of life. The Pharisee, for example, in the New Testament were hypocrites because they did not walk the talk they talked. And so they were hypocrites, and Jesus commonly referred to them as such. They did not practice the law that they professed to believe in and that they required of everyone else. But a true Christian will display the values and the character of God in both his words and then in his deeds, his actions. Why? Well, it's not because we're better than the Pharisees were. No. It's not because we're better than them, but because rather God is the one who changes us truly from the inside. So a true Christian will walk the talk because God has been changing them from the inside out. So looking at this fruit, a true Christian bears good fruit. I want to take a look today at what this fruit is. As I was preparing this, honestly, I thought this would be a simple message focused on Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I just dwell on that. But as I was looking through various aspects of fruit in a believer's life, in the New Testament in particular, and in the Old Testament, but primarily in the New, I see there's other aspects of this fruit in a believer's life. Let's take a look at them together. What is the first fruit that we see? The first fruit is going to be Christ-like character. Christ-like character. This is the most obvious, but the question must be asked of yourself, what character is coming out of your life? What character is coming out of your life? As we read through the next passage, internalize it and see if this is describing the things that is coming out of your life. And yes, it's from Galatians 5. Let's take a look at that together. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many is that? 9. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So according to this, the true Christian isn't the one who just sings the loudest in church. Okay, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy hearing your loud singing. I'm not saying the true Christian is the quiet singer. But volume doesn't affect it. The true Christian isn't necessarily the one who gives the most money. Offering comes around and look how much I can give. The true Christian isn't the one who's necessarily the busiest in serving the Lord, and they're always busy serving in any way they can. But the true Christian is one who is showing the fruit of the Spirit in this character. These are internal character traits that demonstrate and show the work of God in you. What is God doing in your life? These are the character traits that are internalized. As you think of your life, take some time to focus on yourself, not your wife, not your husband, but just think of yourself. Do you see this fruit coming in your life? Is your life characterized by love, joy, peace, long-suffering? What's another word for long-suffering? It's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the work of God in us. Peter That list was from Paul in Galatians, but Peter also spoke of Christ-like character traits in 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Peter says, "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." He says this is fruit in a Christian's life. And he lists these character traits. Two of these lists from Peter and from Paul have a commonality. There are two common ones. That is love and self-control. But to show these character traits is to bear fruit in a Christian's life. Are you bearing fruit? Do you see God's work taking place internally, producing Christ-like character? To bear this fruit, one must be grafted into the true vine. And that is a work that God does for us. When we come to Him in faith and we receive Him, we receive the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So the first thing is that Christ-like character. But the second thing will naturally flow from that. The second type of fruit that we're to bear is Christ-like conduct. Christ-like conduct. As we live a life with the character, the fruit of the Spirit being done in us and our character being changed to be more like Him, it results in a life of good works that produces good fruit. Galatians 1 verse 10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So this being fruitful in every good work, which is an external deed, as a result of the internal character change that God is doing in us, this being fruitful goes hand in hand with increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It goes hand in hand together. As we increase in this, the knowledge of God, we learn more and more what pleases and displeases our Lord. And our fruitful works become more and more conformed to this knowledge, the knowledge of God. There was a time in Philippians when Paul was expressing how torn he was between two things. Going home to be with the Lord, that is dying. Life for Paul, it was tough. It was hard. And he longed to be with the Lord. He longed to go home. But he was torn between that and between continuing in this life. And this is what he says about it. This is how he states it in Philippians 1:21. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell." He's saying there's this conflict inside. He wants to go home, but he wants to stay. He wants to be with the Lord and in the glories of eternity, but at the same time, he knows to stay in the flesh would mean fruit from his labor. And he wants to bear fruit. He wants to do what God put him here to do. To bear fruit from his life is a result of the character that God has changed him into being. And it produces Christ-like conduct. And it's that Christ-like conduct that is bearing fruit. And it was bearing fruit for Paul. And the same is with you. Do you see your life here as a time to bear fruit through your conduct? That is, through your work, through your actions, your deeds. True salvation produces Christ-like character, and that in return produces Christ-like conduct that is pleasing to Him as you increase in the knowledge of God. My fellow Christian, are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Is Christ producing Christ-like character in you? And is that producing a Christ-like conduct? What other fruit are we to bear? There's another fruit that's mentioned in the New Testament. And this one is those who come to Christ. It's referred to as fruit. Those who come to know Christ as a result of your character and your conduct. Paul often expressed his desire to go to Rome to share the gospel. And we see this in Romans 1, verse 13. He says, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, to Rome, but was hindered until now. Now, if you remember, how did Paul finally go to Rome? He went to Rome finally in chains. So God opened up a way for him to get there. It might not have been his plan, but he was going to Rome anyway. He says, but I was hindered until now that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. He wanted to have fruit among them. What was he referring to here? He wanted there to be people who come to know Jesus Christ, people who would eventually be in heaven with him. Fruit. And this was his desire to go to Rome to share Christ so that there may be fruit. Have you shared Christ with others? Are you sharing Christ with others? Are there people? Have you been able to see fruit in your life in this way? He wrote to Corinthians, and he reminded them of the salvation of a family. In 1 Corinthians 16, he says, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. He referred to this household as the first fruits in this region. Those who came to know Jesus through his work, through his ministry. And so again, are you sharing Christ? Are you sharing Christ with others? Are there others who may be in heaven because of your faithfulness? My friends, I encourage you. Yes, you know, a true Christian has Christ-like character, and this is a work of God in us. And he does the changes and produces an internal change, and that must come out in Christ-like conduct, in our words, our actions. But we must also be faithful to share Christ. Be able to be a witness and a testimony. Have you shared the gospel with somebody else? If so, when was the last time that you actually sat with someone and says, can I share with you my faith that is so important to me? Would you let me share with you why I'm a Christian? Fruit, others who come to know Christ. There's another fruit that we see mentioned. That is the fruit of our lips. Interesting. We may also bear fruit with our lips by giving praise to God and thankfully confessing Him. Look at Hebrews 13. This is where we see reference to the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks
to His name.
The Old Testament talks often of sacrifice of thanks. We see in Hosea 14, "Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips." And that is a sacrifice of thanks. In other words, what it is saying is that our lips bear fruit to God when we offer thanksgiving to Him, when we acknowledge Him continually. One of the character traits of being a Christian is thankfulness. Thankfulness, thanksgiving. This is something we should do continually. Now, what is on your lips? What is on your lips? What's the majority of their use? Complaining? Negativity? Words that hurt or drag people down? Commit your lips to the Lord. Lips that will bear fruit. Lips of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of praise to the Lord. This is what we do. This is what we do when we come to worship service. We start off with some singing. And we encourage everybody to sing from your hearts. And let it come out of your lips to the Lord, for He's worthy. But it shouldn't end as the service ends in a few minutes. The sacrifice of praise should be on your lips throughout the week. The fruit from your lips. One more fruit that is mentioned, and that is giving. We bear fruit when we give money in particular. And Paul designated, there was a collection that was being taken up, and he designated this money for the poorer saints in Jerusalem. There was suffering. It was difficult. And so Paul rallied other churches who were doing okay, who could help meet the needs of these saints in Jerusalem. And in Romans 15, verse 28, he says, "Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain." He's referring to the money that they were giving to help the saints in Jerusalem. He says this particular fruit that is given. Notice also his words in Philippians 4. He says, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that may abound, that abounds to your account." Here he's referring to the church that was giving to him, and he thanked them for giving as he was a missionary, as he was going around sharing the gospel, establishing churches, and the church gave to help keep him going, much like we do here when we support missions. We support missions so that other missionaries in other areas can continue going and preaching and teaching and establishing churches. And we do that so that they can continue the work. But Paul says, it's not that I'm just seeking or requiring this from you, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said their giving resulted in fruit. And so as we give too, we pray the same thing, that our giving will result in fruit that abounds to our account. So, to sum up, fruit, the fruit of a true Christian, includes a Christ-like character. This is an internalized work that God does in us, not just an external cleaning up of our lives. A Christ-like character, it includes a life that is characterized by good works as a result of this Christ-like character that's being done in us. The fruit is a faithful witness. The fruit is a pair of lips that brings praise and thanksgiving to God continually. And the fruit is generous giving as we give to the Lord. So back to our original text in Matthew 7, verse 20, where Jesus says, "By their fruits you will know them." I just want to ask you, what fruit is being seen in your life? You can't just decide to make fruit. You must be grafted into the true vine. That is, be born again. You must be born again. This is not through your works, your efforts, your labor. This is the gracious work of Christ on your behalf. And by faith, you receive it. And by faith, He grafts you in to the true vine. God is the gardener. We are the plants. You must be born again and allow Him to graft you in so that you, that your life can produce good fruit. Would you stand with me, please? With your head bowed and eyes closed, take a moment. As Pastor Mike said, this is the time as we gather around the table to examine ourselves. And the first thing I want you to examine is, are you in the faith? Are you truly in the faith? Have you truly been born again? Not of your own effort and work and labor, but of the Spirit. Have you been grafted into that vine? And do you see the Christ-like character being produced in you, resulting in Christ-like conduct? Are you bearing fruit in your life? Are you faithful to the Lord? Are you sharing Him? Are your lips of praise? The fruit as we give to the Lord. Is fruit being shown in your life? With everybody, bow your head and close your eyes, please. Is there anybody here who might honestly say to me, Pastor Ken, just pray for me. I'm not sure of my own salvation, but I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Pastor Ken, I'm not sure if I've been truly grafted into the vine. I'm not sure I've been born again. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand up? Just raise your hand up where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't want to point you out. I want to remember you in prayer. Is there anyone here who might say, Pastor Ken, my desire is to bear fruit. I believe I am born again. But looking through some of this, I see that there's areas in my life that is not bearing fruit. And today, I want to submit myself to the gardener and ask Him to prune away what is not good, what is not necessary, and to make my life bear much fruit. If that's your prayer, raise your hand up. Pastor Ken, there's areas of my life I want to produce more fruit. And I see that. I see that. So much. Okay. Amen. Listen, take a few moments. If you would like to come at the invitation, commit yourself to the Lord at this time. Dedicate yourself to Him. I'll give us just a few minutes. If you'd like to pray with somebody, please come, let me know. Take a few moments to do this before we take the Lord's table together. Would you come? The invitation is open for you at this time. Lord, I want my life to bear fruit, to bear more fruit. Give us a few minutes, give you a few moments of prayer, and then I'm going to lead us together.